Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Stevie Nicol and Cheka Hislop alongside myself, Kay Murray. A little later on, we're going to be talking about how the Mbappe era as captain got underway for France. We'll also be talking about Messi hitting a milestone goal as well. But we will start in the Bundesliga because the news continues on the sacking of Julian Nagelsmann. In fact, it's been confirmed now. Thomas Tuchel appointed as his replacement. Here is CEO Oliver Kahn on the why. He said, when we signed Julian Nagelsmann for FC Bayern in the summer of 2021, we were convinced we would work with him on a long-term basis. And that was the goal of all of us right up till the end. Julian shares our aspiration to play successful and attractive football. But now we've come to the conclusion that the quality in our squad, despite the Bundesliga title last year, has come to the fore less and less often. After the World Cup, we have played less successfully and less attractively. The big fluctuations in performance have cast doubt on our goals for the season, but also our goals for the future. This is why we've acted now. Hasan Salihamidžić, the sporting director at Bayern, said after a thorough analysis of the sporting development of our team, especially since January, and with the experience of the second half of the previous season, we have now decided to release him. Let's now welcome in Gab Marcotti and Mario Melchiot to talk more about everything that's gone down here. Let me start with you, though, Gab. The sacking of Nagelsmann, is it fair?
You know what? I don't want to get into whether it's fair. I don't believe that should be a metric that clubs use. I think you should simply look at it and say, what does it cost us? What does it cost us in terms of money and also in terms of credibility and in terms of reaction from the squad? And can we get somebody who is going to be an instant upgrade over what we have? That should be your decision making, not whether it's fair or not. In this case, much as I love Thomas Tuchel, and I'm a big Tuchelista, no, it doesn't fit the bill at all. The arguments that, you know, we've come to realize we're not where we want to be and whatever else, when the guy is still in the running for the treble, he's still the bookies, Bayern are still the bookies' favorites to win the Bundesliga. They're second favorites to win the Champions League, and they're the favorites to win the German Cup. So then you say, well, it's not about trophies. If it's not about trophies, wait for the season to end and see where you are. He's talking about, you know, the developing the squad, and you don't like where they are since after the World Cup. World Cup in the middle of the season is an unprecedented event in terms of planning. A lot of teams have looked worse since the World Cup. This feels like really what it shouldn't be, a knee-jerk reaction. And it leaves you wondering if something else happened. And the reason I say this is 4 days ago, we had the Bayern chairman of the supervisory board, Herbert Heiner, going out and speaking after that horrendous defeat to Bayer Leverkusen and talking about how they were fully committed to Nagelsmann and this and that and long term. So, yeah, I don't know what to make of it. I think it does come as a shock. And look, you know, the only thing you can good thing you'd say about Kahn and Salihamidžić is they're clearly taking responsibility for this decision.
As Gab just mentioned there as well, Steve, he's still on course for a treble right now, and it's only a point behind Dortmund, who they face next, by the way, once we come back from the international break. That could change everything if they win that game. How would you feel if you were a manager and you'd been sacked when that's the backdrop?
Look, I think you've got to understand that when you get the manager's job at Bayern Munich, it's different. They don't do things normally. And clearly, Salihamidžić, is that his name? I wasn't even going to try.
The Bayern sporting director.
The Bayern sporting director and Kahn. The fact that Tuchel is available and they've decided that they don't want him, they've probably always been... In my opinion, I got the feeling they were always a little not unsure of this guy. And so, Tuchel's available. and they've just decided to pull the plug. They're not going to wait till the end of the season. You know, under normal circumstances, I would agree 100% with Gab. You wait till the end of the season because you might win the title, your domestic title, and you might win the Champions League. But if you're those two, you're going, hold on a second. While things are not good right now, now's the best time, because if we wait too long and this guy wins both titles, we can't get rid of him. Whether we like him or not, we can't get rid of him because we'll look stupid. Because right now, I don't think they look stupid because Bayern haven't been playing well. And so now's the time. So they get Tuchel in just because it's Tuchel and because nobody else can get him, and we get rid of Nagelsmann.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they've liked him anyway.
Steve.
Gab?
Hey, well.
Well, Gab's frozen, actually. Oh, no. Yes, Gab has frozen at the moment. Let me go, though. I'd like to actually go to Mario on this one, just to talk a little bit about Tuchel and his appointment right now. Because when you think about what happened at the end of his tenure with Chelsea, Mario, even when they won games, they were criticising for the style that we saw from them. He didn't seem to know his best 11. Is he the right fit right now? Is he an upgrade on Nagelsmann?
No, I think the good comment that you guys already made was about Steve. You know, like he said, like the timing. Look, we also have to look at timing, right? Tuchel is available now. If they waited a little bit longer, and they clearly were not already agreeing with him. I don't think this is a choice that they made like really quickly. They must have thought about it and look how their progress is going as a team. Bayern is a team that always is the winner. It's a team that is used to, like, they put it in you. I remember, like, me as a youth player playing against their youth system. It was all about winning the way they set up. Now, they have a guy like Tuchel available. They go after him. The guy, clearly, what he did, okay, he did some big moves. The only question for me was coming from Dortmund, going then to Paris Saint-Germain, where it became tricky for him, then won the title a couple of times, and then the big thing that he wanted to win at PSG was the Champions League. Goes to Chelsea and wins it there. Wins the Super Cup. So now it comes down, now comes the question. He comes to another big team, because that is what Bayern clearly is, and they're in the race of everything still. So you need a guy then that can push you to that level. And I think they just didn't want to miss out on, one, having someone, like I mentioned, that they might not like as much, and the development of the youth system is very important to them. And they felt like Tuchel, we can say a lot about him, but he likes to play a young kid. So that could maybe be one of the key things that they looked at and said, like, no, we got to move quickly.
Yeah, and obviously we've just seen his resume, and that's undeniable. But we also hear Oliver Kahn talking about playing attractive football. Was it so attractive at the end of his tenure at Chelsea?
No, but I thought he got the best out of a Chelsea squad that he did, and you saw that in the immediate impact that he had with Chelsea winning the Champions League. I think as much as Stevie is saying, Bayern Munich are a different club and do things differently, so are Chelsea, and particularly at the time. It was... Chelsea were a very odd club under Abramovich, as managers go, and then you have everything that happened with the change of ownership, and it was the oddest of times, even by Chelsea standards. So it's difficult to judge Tuchel on that, on how he transitioned, or how he managed through that transition of change of ownership, of government stepping in and kind of for want of a better term, handcuffing Abramovich, and what he's able to do with Chelsea Football Club. It was just... Everything about it just was odd. So he can't hold that against Thomas Tuchel. There's no questioning that he's a good manager, despite that period. Now, as you look at what's happening at Bayern Munich, and it's very odd to me by anybody's standards. Now, I think this decision was partially made last season once Bayern crashed out against Villarreal in the Champions League. It's then up to Nagelsmann to absolutely blow all competition out of the water, to convince everybody at the club to keep him. And while, yes, to Gab's point, Bayern are still favourites to win the Bundesliga. They do have the Clásico coming up. And you just wonder if management started to think, well, I'm not so sure, despite what Bayern were able to do against PSG, I'm not so sure that they can get through against Man City. If they do, then we certainly can't get rid of Nagelsmann from at the end of the season, regardless of what happens. So therefore, let's bring in the only big name manager who's available right now before anybody else moves. Because other than that, everything that's come out from Bayern has been, let's throw it at the wall and see what sticks. Results aren't great, but then results are never great after the Christmas break at Bayern Munich and then through the World Cup after that. Didn't bring through enough young players, but then do you want good results or do you want them to bring good young players through? It felt as though everybody was just making excuses and seeing what resonated best.
Gab, before we lost you, Gab Marcotti's back with us now. What were you laughing at?
Honestly, I can't stand this drinking of the Kool-Aid. And I do have a column coming up shortly where I address this in more detail. But there's a couple of things that they said, and which I'm sorry to say Mario and Stevie repeated, that I'm sorry, I nearly fell off my chair here. Maybe that's why you lost a signal here. First of all, this business about, well, Khan and Salihamidzic never liked him. If you didn't like him, if you weren't sure about appointing him, why did you give him a 5-year deal, which is pretty much unprecedented in management, unless your name is Pep Guardiola? You gave him a 5-year deal and you spent 25 million in compensation to get him early from Leipzig. Okay, they're going to have to explain this. These guys are just like children playing with somebody else's money. So I don't accept this idea that,
nobody said they didn't like him before they signed him. But like
you said, they weren't
else,
sure
Gab.
About him.
Not
well,
before.
I'm sorry.
The,
decisions
before
have consequences.
Clearly, I didn't mean before they gave him the job. Why would they give somebody they don't like a job? I mean, surely you can work that out for yourself.
So what? No, I'd love to know when they stop.
But that's
when somebody stopped liking him.
And so when they,
okay, well,
so
fine,
when they,
but then don't give him a 5-year deal. Face
then,
up to your
late.
Responsibilities and a project.
It's too late.
And the other
they
thing,
they loved him. So they signed
them. Too late.
But then,
after
he's working there, all of a sudden they don't like him. All of a sudden they go, I don't think we've done the right thing here. This guy's too young. This guy's too whatever. This guy rubs the players up the wrong way. Yeah. There's a million things that go
on. We didn't know any of this before we signed him.
That we don't.
Look.
So don't give me this nonsense about they didn't like him before they signed him.
The other thing I'm not having from these two guys is, ooh, we had to move now and move quickly because we thought Thomas Tuchel was going to get offers from Spurs and from Real Madrid. I mean, come on now. Seriously? Like, we're really going to believe that Real Madrid, who, by the way, still have a manager who signed up for another year, he may or may not be back next season. You really believe Real Madrid are like, oh, look, Thomas Tuchel's available. Oh, wait, let's stop everything and move for him. Come on now. And as far as Spurs and Tuchel, maybe, but if Tuchel gets even a whiff that he has a shot at the Bayern job, he's not going to jump and sign on to Spurs right now. Besides, we know what Spurs are going to do if they sack Conte. They'll appoint Ryan Mason through the end of the season and then appoint a permanent manager after that. So this line that they're peddling, I don't know what kind of Muppets they're peddling it to, but it's just absolute nonsense. And if they really believe this, then I think it's another level of incompetence that they're going to. I think the only good thing you can say about this is they came out, they owned the decision, and if it blows up in their face one way or the other, then they're going to be the ones who are going to be held responsible. Because I don't know what kind of club you've got the chairman saying one thing, the chairman of the supervisory board, Heiner, for then 4 days later, you go in a completely opposite direction because these two guys, and then to do it, by the way, while the guy is off skiing, so he finds out
and nonsense, if you want
Twitter,
to start picking holes in nonsense, then, well, it's absolute nonsense you're talking. You try, every single club on the planet, when the owner or the chairman or whoever it is asked about the current manager, says, we are going to back him. So don't, you're peddling nonsense then, if you're going to
not
start throwing mud at us.
Not in the way
Heiner
spoke. Not in the way he spoke.
Come on, Stevie. You're giving him pelters because he said we're going to back Nagelsmann, and then 3 or 4 days later he gets the bullet. Yeah, we've never had that
before.
Maybe
don't give an interview if you're not sure about it. Maybe don't.
Oh, yeah, right.
Maybe say this isn't the time to talk
happens.
After a defeat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've never heard that before. You've never heard the club say, oh, no.
Not in these terms.
We're firmly behind the manager. And then 3 days later, he gets the sack. Yeah, that's never happened.
Okay, listen.
Not
it's
serious
a he said. With all this behind him, why did they sack him then?
I suspect that there's something here that we don't know. You even had today, and you know, one of the other, because what always happens in these situations, right, is you have the official line that comes from Khan and Salih Amidzic, and whatever, you know, fair enough to them, they weren't happy with the development, and then you have the line that gets leaked to the papers about the young players, which, you know, they were alluded to, although if you take a look at the young players, other than Ryan Gravenberch, you know, Matthijs Tel, who they signed, the guys appeared in 21 games this season. Which is a lot, considering the guy is 17 years old and is Matthijs Tel. So I don't necessarily buy that that aspect of it. I'm more interested in what Joshua Kimmich came out and said when he says Nagelsmann is easily one of the three best players, or sorry, one of the three best coaches that I've ever worked with. So if you have Joshua Kimmich, and I'm guessing one of the other three is probably Pep Guardiola, so the bar is set pretty freaking high. If you've got Kimmich, who is your present and your future, coming out and saying this, this other idea that, oh, he's lost the dressing room and all this other nonsense people love coming up with when managers get sacked, I'm not entirely true. I'm not entirely sure. Either Kimmich is a big fat liar. He didn't have to come out and say this. So I'm left, frankly, dumbfounded. If they really believe, and look, I say this, and I am the biggest Tuchel fan on ESPN FC. I'm pretty sure of that. But if they think that Tuchel all of a sudden is the second coming and he's Midas and everything comes to go, you know, touches everything he touches turns to gold, they have another thing coming. So he's a great coach, sure. Maybe not treated well by Chelsea, maybe. But to think that all of a sudden everything's going to be fine because Tommy's in town, I mean, I'm not so sure how that's going to work either. And well, I think it's going to cost these two their jobs if it doesn't work out.
Given that you just said that then, Gab, that you'd say you're the biggest Tuchel fan here on ESPN FC, will he get them playing attractive football, which is what Khan has picked Nagelsmann out for, saying it's not as attractive now since the World Cup? Will Tuchel get them doing that?
Well, you see, when people come out and say stuff like that, I wonder if they stopped watching Thomas Tuchel play after he left Borussia Dortmund. Because at Paris Saint-Germain, it was all about sorting out the defense. At Chelsea, it was all about sorting out the defense. So that kind of swashbuckling football that Tuchel served up at Dortmund, and before that when he was at Mainz, we didn't see that much of it at Chelsea and Paris Saint-Germain. We saw successful football, sure. For a while anyway, at Chelsea, for a long while. But we're also dealing with a guy who, and I think Shaq alluded to it there, you know, dealt with an enormous amount of trauma over the summer, both with what was happening at the club and of course, issues off the pitch as well. I'm sure he's in a much better frame of mind now. But again, with Tuchel, you're going to have to give him time. And you can't have this situation. If in November they're not 10 points clear at the top of the Bundesliga, what are they going to say? Oh, look, you know, Matthijs Tel isn't developing. Ryan Gravenberch is on the bench. Oh, well, you know, who's the next guy we go for? So this to me seems like a very rash decision. It seems like, frankly, an unnecessary decision. There's nothing stopping them. And by the way, what you said about, oh, if he wins the Bundesliga, then they can't sack him. They've won the Bundesliga 10 times in a row. They had no problem sacking Carlo Ancelotti in September because he didn't like the way he was playing, you know, months after he won the Bundesliga. They've sacked managers who've won things before. So this is Bayern. They consider themselves above all that. They're interested, and they're not just going to go by results. They are a big club with a big club mentality. I think maybe one of the broader things is Nagelsmann was an outsider at this club. And if you go back to the last nine managers that they've had since Jurgen Klinsmann, five of them are former players or former managers. Four of them were what you might call outsiders who come in, try to shake things up. Of the four, other than Pep Guardiola, all three, the three others were all sacked in midseason. Nagelsmann, Ancelotti, and Louis van Gaal, who, by the way, had lost the Champions League final the year before. So, I don't know. I think it's one of those things where they like the outsider, they like the idea of shaking things up, and then they take a step back and they say, no, let's go back our way.
Well, Thomas Tuchel is going to have to hit the ground running because, just a reminder, in the end, we've gone 360.
By the way, I will say, though, just, you know, teams, not just Bayern, but a lot of teams and a lot of boards, they peddle that nonsense about we want to play attractive football when they sack somebody, because it's just something they can say. When people say, give me some reasons why you're getting rid of somebody, that's just one of the lines that people do, that they peddle out about not playing attractive football.
There you go. So it's just a line that they've
used. It's
just
a line.
As an excuse for appointing Thomas Tuchel here. And as mentioned, it is the Clásica coming up. As for the next Tottenham manager odds, well, Julian Nagelsmann is right up the top there. Spurs now interested in him to be the next Spurs manager, Antonio Conte, in Italy right now. Not expected to return. What's the latest we're hearing on this whole situation, Gab?
Well, I imagine he'll return to pick up his things, whether he returns to manage the club. Looks increasingly unlikely at this stage. Look, I think Spurs were, they looked at Nagelsmann before, and I'm sure they'd love to have him. What I genuinely don't know is to what degree it would make sense for Nagelsmann to, you know, walk out of one job and walk into another job, walk into this situation now, as opposed to taking over fresh start at the start of next season. You know, people forget the guy's, what, 34 years old, 35 years old. I think this has really been a blow for him. Finding out via the papers that you've been sacked isn't pleasant. And I think it's come to a shock to him. He's going to also have to negotiate his exit from the club, because they paid him an enormous amount of money and he's got more than 3 years left on his contract. I think all of that is going to take time, which Spurs probably don't have. They're going to want to double down, and Ryan Mason's there. To me, Mason seems like the obvious choice. Take a breather, take a bit of time, wrap things up with Conte if that's what you want to do. And then look at the candidates who are out there. And obviously the usual names have been out there from Pochettino on to all the guys that we normally mentioned. And now you've got Nagelsmann in the mix as well. Then take a long, hard look at Nagelsmann and see if you can work something out for next season.
Nagelsmann to Spurs. Would you like to see that? Do you think that would be nice?
If I'm a Spurs fan, I'd like that. I actually do agree with Gab that if Nagelsmann's get any sense, he sits back, lets somebody take over, like Ryan Mason, take over, and then he can go. He can sit down and take his time, and watch videos and watch the games and see what the squad's like and do all of that. He can get all his planning done and figure a lot of things out. So I absolutely agree with Gab. Don't take the job now. If you're going to take the job, because if he wants it, it's his. You know, if I'm Tottenham and I hear that Julian Nagelsmann wants to be our manager, are you really going to turn them down? I mean, I think he's perfect for Tottenham. And he's perfect for the future. So, yeah, take the job. Yeah. Take it easy.
I'll tell you what, I totally agree with both Gab and Steve on that. That Nagelsmann is a great fit. And if you can figure that out, be better for Spurs. And if I'm a Spurs fan, I'm doing everything I can to persuade Daniel Levy to do as much. Spurs are in a race for top four right now. Albeit Newcastle can leapfrog them if they win their games in hand. Liverpool, if they win their games in hand, can come to within a point. So while, to Gab's point, you bring Ryan Mason in, let's assume that Conte leaves tomorrow morning, for argument's sake, you bring Ryan Mason in to see you through to the end of the season, you're flirting with a top four position right there. And which it's a very valuable one, both in terms of money that it brings in and what players you can bring in to play the Champions League. So do you leave that to chance? But then, again, if I'm Nagelsmann, I'm also saying I'm waiting to the end of the season, sorting my business out with Bayern Munich, sorting that termination out, figuring out what my next steps will be. But if you're Spurs, you mightn't have till the end of the season. You have till the end of this international window to figure things out because of everything at stake.
Do you agree with the boys, Mario?
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, like I spoke to some of the guys in England too, and you know, we all saw that comment that Conte did, of course. Just the quick point about Nagelsmann, if he's going to take the time, you understand, because of course with the guys that did this pain that he goes through, you got to fix that, because I don't think any manager should jump from one job to another job really quickly, because regardless of what the club wants, because he's in a luxury situation in the sense of like his payment is already set. Bayern has to pay him all the way through. But then the other club might not want to wait that long. But then we ask another question is, who is good for Spurs? And who is Spurs going to back? Because most of the coaches that have been there, you understand, have felt like they on their own moment. And I think that was one of the key things that Conte says, regardless of what they brought in, because Conte has got some backing for it. And but then you got Mourinho and all the guys that went before him. So if Nagelsmann goes, the only thing I will tell him is that he preps well and make sure that Mr. Levy sits down with him and has a proper conversation with him, because if not, he might not like it where he's going.
There's a lot more talk on Julian Nagelsmann and Thomas Tuchel over on our YouTube page. Be sure to head on over there. We've been talking about this topic for the last 2 days. And just to remind you, Thomas Tuchel will hit the ground running. His first game, Der Klassiker, Bayern Munich against Borussia Dortmund, with that battle to take top spot in the table. Ahead of it, here's what Bayern's Thomas Müller had to say.
For an outsider, dear outsider, watch it. Watch it, and then you can see it. Now, it's a very intense football match of the two biggest clubs in Germany, and we are waiting for you.
Absolutely are waiting for you on ABC and ESPN+. Be sure to join us. It's Bayern Munich against Borussia Dortmund, Der Klassiker, Saturday, April 1st from 12 Eastern.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. France began the new era with Kylian Mbappe as the national team captain with a 4-0 win, and that man himself was the scorer of two of the goals, along with Griezmann and Upamecano as well. Let's talk about that first goal, though, shall we? Because the first goal was an assist from Mbappe Xhaka to Griezmann. A lot of talk about this captaincy and Griezmann being upset he didn't get it. And then the two of them combined for the opening goal.
As we suggested yesterday, it was absolute nonsense. All the talk around on the captain's armband, and that was clear for everybody to see from the time the players took the tunnel to come out before the game. I don't think Griezmann feels any way about it. He understands that. He's been in the game long enough. You understand Didier Deschamps handing the armband to Kylian Mbappe as they start to plan for the next cycle, the next 4 years. And I think invariably, if you're a coach of a national team, that's what you're thinking about. You're thinking about the next World Cup. You're not really that concerned about qualifiers or the Nations League. What does this team look like in 4 years' time? And who is its natural leader? And I think that's Kylian Mbappe, to the point that in the 2022 World Cup final, at 2-0 down, Antoine Griezmann was substituted. Kylian Mbappe was the captain, or at the very least, de facto captain at that point. And we all know how that final played out from that point in. So if you're Didier Deschamps and you see how France finished against Argentina in 2022, you're thinking about 2026. Though that's the core of players that you're thinking about, that you're working with. Yes, you have some older players in Antoine Griezmann and Olivier Giroud who will be a part of the squad going forward, at least for the next few games at the very least. But you are thinking about what that squad looks like in 2026, and it makes sense. Antoine Griezmann understands that. All the talk, I think, is external and not really reflecting what's happening within that dressing room.
There's a lot of talk yesterday on the show about the role of the captain, Stevie, and there was a difference of opinion on how important a captain is. Maybe it's a really successful team, you're all expected to be pulling in that same direction, you don't need the captain as much. Well, then Xhaka shared an example of when a captain is somebody who you've really looked up to in your side as well. Where do you stand on the captain's role? How important do you think they are, and how important were they during your playing career?
I think I'm actually disappointed, can I just say? Because I thought you were going to go straight to Mario and we could listen to Mario crying about this.
Oh, we're going to get there. Don't worry, we're going to get there. That's coming.
I know where you are, Steve. Now I know where you are.
Wait, Mario.
Don't worry about that, my brother. I got you.
I'm in the camp of I like my captain to be a certain character. And I don't believe that Kylian Mbappe, as great a player as he is, and yes, I don't disagree that, you know, at 2-0 down, he was the catalyst. But that's because he's a world-class player.
So a captain does matter?
I think so. And I think it probably says more about my era, where captains had a lot more say and did matter a lot more. And I think your captain has to be a certain type of character. And I just don't believe that Mbappe is that type of character.
When you were a manager, what were you looking at when you did appoint your captain? What were the factors?
A bit of everything. You know, obviously somebody who's going to be playing every game. I mean, I guess that has to be as big as any. But after that, it's who do the guys really respect? Who do the guys really listen to? You know, who's going to put himself pretty much before, or who's going to put them pretty much before himself? Things like that, you can't say that about Mbappe. If there's one thing you can't say about Mbappe, is that he's going to put the rest of the team in front of himself. So straight away,
Why not?
Okay. Right, Mario, let me ask you a question, Mario, right?
Yeah.
You're playing in a game, and regardless of how good your team is, because France are a really good team, every team goes through periods where the opposition are putting you under pressure, they're battering you, they're doing this, you're throwing bodies in front of the ball, and you want to look up the field and see your captain standing on the halfway line with a cup of tea, watching what's going on, waiting for you to get him the ball.
Did you watch the World Cup final?
I'm sorry.
Yes, because the World Cup final was the answer to the captaincy.
Exactly what you've just said there, and I'm absolutely delighted you said, what about the World Cup final? Well, guess what? You know when the captain does the proper job? Well, you're away to Lithuania, and it's 2 degrees below, and the field's rubbish, and it gets everybody going. Anybody can turn up in the World Cup final. Anybody can turn up and play in the World Cup final.
You qualify in
Albania.
No, nobody wants to be there. Hey, a captaincy, everybody, look, when you play professional football, you know yourself.
This is a Caldwell night and Stoke all over again.
And hang on, Mario, because you've been a captain, so it'd be good to know your experience as well.
So many times, you understand? In the captaincy, one of the key things I feel like in a team, right? I think you need to build a team that everybody's captain. Why I'm saying that? Because not only the armband that you get makes you a captain. You just are. So Mbappe is clearly already a captain. The only thing now is going to get the band on his arm. But Griezmann is a captain. The only thing that it separates them is because one is wearing it, the other one isn't wearing it. And when you look at the final, I feel like you had a man that stood up, that was a boy, and became like he was already in the journey of becoming a man, and then he showed globally on an impact that he's clearly one of the best football players in the world at the moment. You might not agree with me, but that is how I think. I tell you right now, if you pick a player right now, who would you not want to play against? It will be Kylian Mbappe. I don't want to play against him. He's quick. He's fast. He believes in himself. He's got the scoring ability. And he can carry the team. And believe me, in Holland, the only conversation we had now in Holland talking about the game that was coming up was about Kylian Mbappe. Who's going to stop him? Who's going to be capable to play against him? Because no one had an answer for that.
Well, nobody's disagreeing with his ability. I certainly wasn't disagreeing with his ability.
But his desire to win as well and his competitiveness.
I'm not disagreeing with the desire to win either. I'm just pointing out certain things. And again, if you can turn around and say, well, where was he for 70 minutes? Where was the captain for 70 minutes in the World Cup final as well? I mean, there are so many things that you can argue against somebody that plays the game the way he does. He plays the game is, please, somebody, get me the ball and then I'll produce for you. Is that one of the requirements of being a captain?
Yeah, but some of the greatest
Was Mbappe the captain in the World Cup final to that point? I understand what you're saying. I just see it differently. I don't get that feeling about Mbappe when I see him play. I don't get that feeling about him when I see him interacting with teammates on the park. And again, if I'm thinking 2026 and who will be the likely leaders of that squad, whether we're talking Tchouameni, Camavinga, players who are playing with big clubs and demand that kind of respect on the field. Right now, they aren't. Right now, I don't think they command greater respect than Kylian Mbappe. Maybe in 4 years' time, they will. And maybe in four years' time, it'll make more sense to have a midfielder. To Stevie's point, he doesn't want a striker as a captain. Maybe in 4 years' time, it may make more sense to have that midfielder as a captain. But right now, I just, as good as those players are, I don't think they're ready to captain this France squad right now.
Do you know what we're ready to do? We're ready to ask Mario some answers.
This is what we've all been waiting on.
All right.
It's the only reason I came on the show today.
Mario, how worried are you about this and what are you taking away from it?
What I take away from it is, okay, look, we have to be honest. There were some key things that happened to us. We have some key players that couldn't make it, right? Okay, one of the key players is De Jong, of course. He stayed in Barcelona. He couldn't make it to come all the way out. So he didn't make the starting team. Then we had some young players, like I give an example, a Taylor, the Roan, Geertruiden. You understand, he plays at Feyenoord. They're doing well, you understand, but that doesn't mean you're going to be like here. Simons and Berghuis. Berghuis is the one that plays at Ajax. He comes into the team. It's not like a starting. Okay, regardless, in Holland they might like it. Simons was at Barcelona, went to Paris Saint-Germain, and now he's back in Holland and playing really well for PSV. But guys, you have to understand. I remember when I was playing in France, in Holland, they were questioning, and is the French league stronger than the Dutch league? And I said to him, guys, come and watch. And now this was the answer. I felt sad because I wanted Holland to win. And don't get me wrong, that is just, you know, it's a normality. But I also knew that Holland was going to be too light because we had a lot of illness going on in the team because they ate, I know Saka is going to smile, a chicken curry. I don't know what happened there because whatever, you know, they were cooking for them. I don't think it was cute, but I mean, players like Gakpo, De Ligt, Botman, Veerman, Van Brug all went home because they didn't feel good. And that is the key thing that should not happen. You should at least, you know, don't take a risky food supplement right before kickoff against a strong team like France. That's one. The second part is that in the middle of the park, we have players like Wijnaldum, just coming back, you understand? Maybe played a couple of games, you understand, in Rome. Taylor plays at Ajax, supposed to be, you know, one of the big talents. You cannot compete. It's almost like, you know, we had the Roan too. You cannot compete a whale with some cute fishes. You cannot do that. You got to wait till you become that whale yourself. And I don't think Holland was that yet. Today, we could clearly see the biggest difference between two nations was that France played the football the way they wanted. You make the mistakes, and we hit you on the break. And how many breaks they took, wow. Every goal, the goal against them was so quick. But after 3 minutes, we were already 1-0 down. So there you go.
OK, we're going to welcome back in Gab now because Sweden took on Belgium today. We got to see the Domenico Tedesco era get underway and we got to see three goals, that is a hat trick, from Romelu Lukaku in this game. Scoring goals in either half of this one. He is back at 71 goals in 105 caps for his country. What's going on with his future? What can we expect this summer on Romelu Lukaku, Gab? Where's he going? Where should he go?
Well, what, he needs, what, 40 goals to, and he's past Cristiano or something like that. Well, Cristiano presumably will get a few more in the meantime. I don't know. Obviously, he's had a nightmarish two seasons, slowed by injury, slowed by poor performance, and I think some poor decisions as well. From Inter's perspective, I think it's pretty clear. You know, they can't afford to keep him on the... given his performances this season, on the terms that they've had him so far. So they've come out and they said he's going back to Chelsea. Now, I think if you're Inter, given that your other big center forward is Dzeko, who's 37 years old, you probably want to keep him and give him another shot, but you're going to have to cut yourself a better deal with Chelsea. And so then it becomes a negotiating thing. If you're Chelsea, how much can you afford to give up? Because every year that you loan him out elsewhere, you know, you're not going to recoup the wages. You're not going to recoup the loan fee. You're going to recoup part of it. So either it goes down that route, or Graham Potter or whoever is in charge of Chelsea next season says, you know what, let's give Big Rom a chance. Maybe he can do something. I mean, I think these are pretty basic scenarios. If he stays at Inter and he said he likes Milan, he loves Inter, blah, blah, blah. Something has got to give in terms of his deal with Chelsea. Either he scraps it and takes a massive pay cut because he loves Inter so much, or more likely, you know, Chelsea will have to foot the bill for most of Lukaku at Inter.
Would you like to see him given a chance again at Chelsea, Mario?
Yeah, knowing that they have no striker, I think this will be like, and for the price they can get him right now because he was already part of them, I think, like, you know, what Gab just said, like, look, the president came out of Inter and also said, like, look, this is not the Lukaku that we had before. So the chances also for him to stay on will be maybe tricky. They said, like, okay, his fitness was not up to speed, but that they can clearly get to that in the season, during the time that's still left. And on the other part, it's like, I know that Chelsea's looking for a striker. I know that. So either they make that chance and say, like, okay, we're going to look what we can get out of him, or... they have to cut the deal, like Gab said, because then you're bringing someone into your team that's going to be a big chunk into your budget.
All right. So make sure to join us tomorrow. There'll be a lot more talk when it comes to international football. Luis Garcia will be with us. Spain take on Norway, so he'll be giving us his thoughts on what happens in that game. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Big night for Messi as well, because it was also his 800th overall career goal for club and country. Just taking a look at the breakdown there, obviously, the lion's share coming at Barcelona, where 672 were scored, 99 for Argentina, as we just said, and 29 with PSG. He turned 36 in June, but that has not put Barcelona president Joan Laporta off re-signing him. Here's Laporta on Messi's future. He said Messi knows that Barca's doors are open. We'll see. I have to find a way to improve the current relationship between Messi and Barca. Now, on Tuesday, Gab Marcotti was talking about how this man is in La La Land. That would be Laporta, not Messi. Is he still in La La Land right now? Gab?
It depends what you're going to bring him back for. He was speaking on Joe Pompliano's YouTube channel. And look, if you ask him, like, oh, you know, is it over for Messi at Barcelona? And you're the Barcelona president, you'd be a fool to say, oh, no. Of course you're going to say the door's always open. But door's always open for what? Some future role at the club? Maybe. As like a welcome friend and club's greatest ever player, of course. But, you know, in terms of having Messi back on anything like the salary that he has now, that wouldn't be just be one step backward. That would be 10 steps backward, given Barcelona's financial reality, given the investment that they've made in the position that Messi plays, by the way, you know, in terms of the wingers that they have there from Dembele to Rafinha to Ferran Torres to Ansu Fati. It simply makes zero sense, but I understand why he has to say that. I'm going to hope that he's not talking about building bridges for Messi to come back as a player, unless Messi says, hey, guess what? I'm coming back for minimum wage, €11.50 an hour. You know, just make me an hour. I'll give me a little time card. I'll clock in, I'll clock out, and I'll be very cheap. Then sure. But, you know, Barcelona have a very specific economic reality right now, and that's where they are. And this Messi can't be a part of that.
Stevie, if you're Xavi, can you ask your president, Laporta, to not talk about things like this?
If you're Xavi, you're probably going, please, no. I mean, if he turns round and says, I've got you a player now, Xavi, here he is, and it's Messi. I mean, could you put Xavi in a worst possible position? If you turn around and say, here's a player, and it's Messi. I mean, what's Xavi meant to do? Is he meant to turn around to his best friend and say, you're not playing, I'm sorry, but you're going to be sat on the bench, or you might not even be in the squad? Or are you going to sacrifice the way you play the game in order to play Messi? I mean, for Xavi, it would be an absolute nightmare.
OK, so maybe he'll have to have a little quiet word with his president right now. You can hear more from Gab on the Gab and Jules podcast, our very animated show this week, as always. Make sure to download that wherever you do get your podcasts. Here's a look at the CONCACAF Nations League Group A. Mexico with a win over Suriname on Thursday night. An own goal benefiting them there. Also one from Johan Vasquez. 2-0 at finish. The boys on Football Americas did a special after this game, talking a lot more about it as well. But there has been a lot of talk about the future of Follerin Balogun. He's a US men's national team target. He's been continuing his tour of the USA, where he's on vacation right now. He's a striker who's eligible for England, Nigeria and the US men's national team. And USA interim coach Anthony Hudson confirmed that he had private talks with him and has spoken about the player and his international future.
As I've said before, we've had dialogue, we've spoken. He's out here, you know, having a bit of a break and some training, and we've had some discussions. It's been good because it's been an opportunity for us just to share about our program and who we are and what we do. And that's it, you know, and I hope we get the chance to speak to him again. So it's been good to meet him, and I know a few of the guys have spoke to him as well.
USA taking on Grenada. Gio Reyna starting in this game. Make sure to catch it. And also catch this special edition of Football Americas, which will come right after the game on YouTube. It's a special edition on YouTube with the boys to look back on everything that goes down in that game between USA and Grenada. All right, that will do it then for the latest edition of ESPN FC. We're not done yet, though. These guys are going to answer some of your questions on Extra Time. Mario Melchiot's going to be joining us to do that too, so stick around. Questions coming up. Well, Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. We've got Mario, Shaka and Stevie, and I've got the questions.
A very hurt Mario.
Very hurt Mario. Netherlands beaten today.
Beaten?
Big time.
Yeah. He got battered.
This is so funny, man. Mario is funny.
Look at you, Shaka. You loved it, eh?
Mario's funny. He's funny.
Okay.
During the show, did Mario blame chicken curry?
He did.
But the best is
he said, Shaka, you'll be able to know about this.
First of all, Mario, it's not chicken curry. It's curry chicken. That's where it went wrong. If you go to Trinidad and Tobago and you're into cooking a proper curry chicken, you'd be alright.
I love it, my brother. But they went to the
No, it's not. It's not chicken chef. Curry. This is a big talking point. It's not chicken curry. It's curry chicken.
Okay, that's, curry chicken.
Right. That's where you all went wrong.
It's not chicken with curry.
No, not at all. Oh. Not at all.
Curry chicken.
Yes. Curry it's.
But
it's.
Shaka,
it's a, very,
Shaka,
it's a very
they,
serious
they let
point.
The wrong chef prepare it. They let the wrong chef prepare it. I'm telling
next
you.
Next time, give me a call, Mario. Next time.
Okay.
I'll put you in touch with a really
together.
Good
Don't
chef
worry
from
about
Triangle.
It. We go together.
Mario, if the chef doesn't call it curry chicken,
if he calls it curry chicken, send him home.
Right, chicken curry.
if he calls it chicken curry, send him home. That's what I meant.
Will you eat chicken curry?
Are you joking?
Not even chicken curry. Curry chicken.
Don't eat chicken curry. Eat curry chicken.
I might have a go.
Curry chicken.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. First question for Stevie. Galtier, Nagelsmann and Potter all had their clubs pay over 10 million euros for them to be released. Have they shown that paying for a coach never works out?
Oh. It's hard to say it never works out. It's a lot of money, though. I mean, if you paid, what was Nagelsmann, 20-something million? I think Gab said, was it 20?
20, yeah. 15
around 30,
plus a couple of games, which
yes,
they average
yes.
out about 5.
Yeah.
I mean, about 20.
Yeah. That's a lot of money to pay
for. How much did the rest
pay? Because at the end of the day, the coach...
The rest pay 15 for you as well.
Curry chicken.
With that money, you can get a private chef who will definitely make sure it's curry chicken. You know?
Do you know what? That's.
It's a lot.
See, the thing is, it is a lot. But if you're talking about paying 150 million for a player, then 20 million to have somebody put your team together and win, say, the Champions League or your domestic league doesn't. I guess in the realms of thing these days with the money, it's not that bad.
It's a bargain. For Stevie, how would you feel if you found out about being fired from the media like Nagelsmann? So everybody told him, have you heard the rumours? He said, yeah, I've heard them, but he hadn't heard from the club at the time.
I find that very difficult to believe.
He was on vacation skiing, so...
I mean, I honestly can't get my head round how something like this could happen. Because it's happened before, right? Mm. I mean, I don't care how bad a general manager you are, but common decency would be when you make a decision, it's should be pretty much across the board, right? Nobody says anything to anybody until I've spoken to whoever it may be.
Yeah.
I mean, that just seems like the normal, correct thing to do.
To have Nagelsmann find out as he did just seems so amateurish. But we're talking about Bayern Munich here. And that's the thing. If we're talking about some lower league club, you could criticise them and say we could say all sorts. We're talking about Bayern Munich. That kind of thing should not be happening at a club like Bayern Munich. No, it should not.
Yeah, but respect. It's a common of respect, too, guys. You know, like, it doesn't cost anything. Call the guy up, tell him clearly what you think about him. And if you want to keep it short, keep it short. And also, hey, come on, man, be a man about it. I totally agree. Bayern is too big of a club for let your coach to be put out because your next coach is going to be worried about that, too. So if Tuchel comes in, you better be ready that they do some tricky stuff like this to you.
All right.
I'll tell you one as well, because it's amazing how these things happen in football, and they happen at every level. I got a call from Colorado Rapids after I got the sack from New England Revolution, right? And I got a call to ask me if I was interested, right? I said yes. So then a week later, I got another call, a follow-up saying, right, you know, we've spoken, you're going to get a call from this guy who's supposedly way up on the board. We're going to arrange to have you come over, show your facilities, sit down, have a chat, you know, we'll do all the things. So, so-and-so will be calling you, right? That was in 2011, I think. I'm still waiting on the call.
Is
still waiting on the call.
Is phone on?
Well, every time it rings, I'm running to the phone, quick, to see if it's them. that sort of thing just shouldn't happen, but it does. Mm. It does. It's incredible.
Yeah. Phone was on. He answered that call. We might not have had you here sat with us now. You might have been.
Well, I'm glad I'm here.
We're glad you're here too. We really are. Next question. Curious as to what Mario thinks of the Mitrovic situation. So it would be a three-match ban, but apparently the FA have said that they feel that would be too lenient.
Oh, no, look, I think, in the situation what he did, because I clearly was working on that game, I think Mitrovic, in the situation, even the coach, when he came in, both of them, I think Mitrovic, you're too big of a player, you got to be smart, you're never going to win the battle with the referee. So that is one. Did I let my emotions run? Oh, yeah, I'm one of the first to say, I did it myself too, but I didn't go that far as far as he went, because he pushed him. You don't touch the ref. The second part is that, you know, you're also the example, because you were still in the game to do something, regardless if the minutes was running down. And that's why I feel like, no, he should have been smarter. And don't get banned for this long, because your team is clearly doing some great stuff this season.
What's a sufficient punishment, do you think? Is three games enough for you, Mario, for what he did, or does it need to be more?
The downfall comes on this one is that we don't want it to happen again. So that's why I think he will be used as an example. And it won't surprise me if he's going to get more than three games. And okay, some people said nine, some said three. I don't want to take the kid away from playing football. So give him one more game up on top of it, four games or something like that, or five. But I don't want him to be gone too long. I just want him to understand, don't do that again, because you're an example to the rest that might be following you.
Yeah, that's the balance you've got to find, isn't it? Set the example, but to not punish for too long.
Well, nobody wants to hand on that kind of punish, but Mitrovic charging after the referee as he did, I think that's a worse stain on the game, and you definitely don't want to see that. I think whatever punishment comes down on Mitrovic, he can't have much of a complaint. He really can't.
I think can you 11?
I can't remember.
Ref, I think it was a 11. Yeah, 11.
I mean,
that was a long time ago, obviously, but
and the referee did kind of fall. It was a little. It was.
You know,
the referee fell. It was a funny fall.
You know what we need to think about as well, that we generally don't on this show. Probably today, and probably over the last decade, there have been more assaults on referees in the amateur game than there's ever been. Because they're struggling to get referees now because of that, because of the violence against referees. And so the FA are in a position where they have to show everybody that it's not you can't tolerate it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get three games for a red card in a game, and you're only going to turn around and give somebody like Mitrovic for assaulting the referee another couple of games, then you're sending the wrong message. And unfortunately, they missed a chance with Bruno Fernandes a couple of weeks ago when he put his hands on the linesman and did nothing.
Yes.
And now they've made it even harder for themselves to come down with a big punishment, because if I'm Mitrovic and I get 10 games or 15 games, whatever, I'm going to be... The first thing I'm going to do is complain about Fernandes. Mm-hmm. Not that makes one right or wrong, but no, they have to do something.
Stevie went deep there.
I know he
well,
did.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point what he's making.
Oh, so I just wasn't expecting that deeper.
Yeah. One gets laid off, the other one.
He's been defending referees more frequently here.
I'm not sure how to react.
See, when it started,
yeah,
Kay was looking at me with like half a smile. and then when they threw in the amateur referees in the final, her face got all serious. she went from that.
I will direct you all to the best of the year on Extra Time when Stevie's actually doing impressions of all the things that annoy him about refereeing.
Oh, I do.
But that's true.
I never once touched one of them, no.
When you realise Stevie's being serious, you've got to, you know.
Right?
I'm serious.
You're not expecting that.
That's
absolutely true. Okay.
Next time you're going to be serious, just say up front.
Warning.
Let us know, right? Just say careful, everybody.
Serious.
Careful, everybody. You've got to be serious for
And
there.
Don't say the Bayern sporting director's name.
Sammy Hammer.
You put us to in a situation where we had to remain serious on a serious topic.
You said it earlier.
Oh, you said it weird as well. He's like,
it's
Sammy Hammer's name.
You say it and you get out.
You said it.
Oh, God. That was so good.
I thought Oliver got that.
I could see that.
Right, next question. For S11 Acker, your number
yes.
That was Shaka's number plate. On his Maserati, his hardtop Maserati.
Maserati.
Yes.
Start bench or drop.
Money for that. You must have paid a lot of money to get that number plate going.
I can't remember how much. It wasn't that bad, actually. Wasn't that bad.
And he had a little black screw in the middle of the 2-1, so it was spelled Shaka.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't what I didn't pay that much for it. So when I was at Reading, so the chairman, Milan Mandarich, he bought one of the new Jaguar XJ220s. Remember, they come out, they were like 150 grand or something like, or 200 grand. He bought the license plate, XJ220. So this is in 93, thereabouts. He paid 150 grand for that, for the plate.
Yes, see?
So the plate cost more than the car.
Yeah.
The plate cost just about the same. The car was about 200 grand. And the plate XJ220 was 150 grand.
So the question is, what is it worth?
That's what I was wondering.
Well, I don't know.
Mine was
in the I paid about 2 grand for it.
Okay. Yeah. You're lucky then.
That's about.
Start bench or drop, Pickford, Pope, Ramsdale.
I would start Ramsdale. And I'm going to bench Pope and drop Pickford, you know. I know Gareth Southgate sees it very differently. Very, very differently. That's where I'd go.
Next question. I'm going to start with Mario. For all, when travelling internationally for club and country, did you have specific cultural dishes you looked forward to having?
Travelling for club.
Not chicken curry.
Not curry chicken.
Hey, you know, okay, I'm going to tell you a story. When we were in the national team, we had a chef. That there was like some talking going on. He was making too much of Dutch food. And we had a lot of guys that were connected to Suriname, like myself. And we said the Surinamese, they eat different. We have different style, you know, the way we put our spices and everything. So then the chef changed the menu and brought in some Surinamese food. So one thing I can say, definitely my country. That time, that chef was really good. The morning, the breakfast, the lunch, dinner, he had it on point. So yeah, if you talk to me about that, I'll say national team. When it comes to club, oh my God, I talked to Steve and Chuck. When we had a time, we had the pasta in England was overcooked. Then we get some red sauce on it, and then we get some cooked chicken. And they said, yeah, because it's good for the healthy business. Oh my God, you gotta be kidding me. It was terrible. terrible, I tell you right now. The only thing I loved in England was roast dinner and my apple and crumble. That was, nobody can stop that. The other day I had it, no one can stop that food. But the rest, yeah. Please don't call me for that.
Yeah, roast dinner remains undefeated. Same question to you, Stevie. Which cultural cuisines did you look forward to?
I want to know. Stevie, come on.
Where's the Irish pub? There you go.
What's the most adventurous you've been with food that you've actually liked?
No.
No.
Well, drop the that you've liked. What's the most adventurous you've been?
French fries.
No. Beef tartare. Well, that's right, yeah. Yeah, but that was beef, though.
Oh, beef tartare.
Do you know? I had a few years ago, a local restaurant. I don't know what I was thinking about. I had. What do you call the the meat when you have it in like a big crust?
A pie.
No, like a
beef Wellington.
Beef Wellington. Well, I had it with fish.
It was that idea, but with fish instead of beef.
Yes.
Right.
It was rotten. I was like, what am I doing? I had well-done fillet steak coming out of my mouth, and somehow it changed to, I'll try this, just for a change. What a bad move.
It was rotten.
Rotten.
Chaka.
I'm worried about you, Steve. I'm worried about you, man. We got to take you on the road to eat some real big stuff food.
Mario, here's the thing. That's the least of Steve's... There's a lot to worry about with Steve. His food is the least of them. Yeah. There's a lot more that comes before worrying about Steve's choices. I fancy myself as a little bit of a foodie. I'm eating anything.
Anything.
So when we travel, I only had one quirk in that my pre-match meal, I would have pasta. Plain pasta with a little bit of olive oil. So even if we had a 12 o'clock kickoff, I would eat plain pasta at 8 in the morning, 7 in the morning, whatever it is. That's the only thing. But before, I am happy to eat. I'm happy to eat whatever's on tap.
Seasoned traveler, isn't
it? I'm a seasoned traveler.
And the pasta. Yeah.
Did you know Jared Nixon?
No.
Played with me in Trinidad and Tobago, John. I think he played in the States for a bit. But he was like you. He wouldn't eat anything anywhere we went. So we'd travel, and of course, playing in CONCACAF, you go to a number of the Central American countries. He would eat fries and drink Coca-Cola three meals a day, every single day.
Keep it simple.
Nah.
You would have been Stevie's captain.
Oh, goodness me.
No.
Nico is a nightmare. Nico is a nightmare.
I think your coach is very important when we go on the road. Your coach is the key to the chef. We had with Van Gaal, he made sure, he said, no, the boys have to eat good. Then I went to England, I had Fiali. He brought an Italian chef. That's why I will be connected to Italian food forever. So my chef was incredible. Then I went to Birmingham. Sorry, guys, but it wasn't fancy. Wigan, no. I wanted to cry and say, help me, please. But the national team saved me. That's the only team. But the rest,
See, regardless of what country you go, if you get something fried or boiled, then it's dead. So you can't get any bugs. Well, the bugs are killed. So you either fry it or you boil it, and that way you won't get a bad stomach.
So it's the safest option.
Absolutely.
You go for. All right. Well, that will do it for the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you so much for sending in your questions. Working up quite the appetite now.